it was kind of strange when I was kind of on standby. I knew I was going to eventually preach, just didn't know it was going to be the first sermon of the year. And I said, wow, that's a lot of responsibility. Let me make something, put something together. And so I came up with seasons change, but God's faithfulness remains, which is true in all situations. One thing I could definitely say is that, you know, when a new year starts, a lot of people, when they're coming into the new year, like, oh, what's your new year's revolution? What are you going to do? What you're going to achieve in this next year? And then by month one or two, most of them are like, well, it was a wish, but it's never going to happen. Especially when it has to do like with weight losses and those kind of things. But there's so much opportunity, so many things that that can happen with a brand new year. And one of the things that we can see is that basically it's a reminder that life, much as a calendar, the pages turn. It just keeps on going. And one of the things I've noticed, especially as I get older, is that it feels like just time goes by faster and faster. I mean, it feels like yesterday I started dating my wife, and now we have two kids. And every once in a while she'll ask me, like, did you ever imagine that we'd have kids like we have right now? I'm like, no. It's like, I was just dating you, and now we have two kids, and all these things, everything just changes. And one thing I definitely say is that, you know, with every new chapter that's unwritten, there's so much possibility. There's so much things that awaits. And if we're honest, we know that not every chapter is easy to write. And not every season is easy to endure. But if we look at the world around us, the seasons of nature declare God's rhythm. We know that that seasons start, but then they also end. And many times when we look at seasons, you know, we can say, oh, we got winter, spring, summer, and fall. And many times we can have an idea of when they're going to begin, an idea of when they're going to end, but they never tend to end or start when we think they're going to start and end. Many times we can say, oh, well, normally around this time it starts to get cold and winter starts beginning, and then normally about this time spring starts to happen, and then it's like, wow, winter came late this year. Oh, wow, winter went really long this year. It's like, well, it's because we don't know when they're going to start, when they're going to end, and it's just like that, that God has seasons and timings for our lives. We don't know when these seasons are going to begin, and we don't know when they're going to end either, but God has has purposes for them. You know, and for some of us, we might have felt like this last year we went through a harsh and unrelenting desert, while others were going through the overflowing harvest and season of blessings that were just abound. And one thing I could definitely say is that there are purposes and reasons for that. And so we're going to read Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 through 2. It says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. And so one of I'm going to focus mainly on the difficult times, which I know that's everybody's favorite. Which, you know, sometimes we talk about it being a desert, or sometimes going through winter, or it's harsh times. And so the we're going to talk about what is the purpose of the desert season, which is the first point. So, the purpose of the desert season now. Aren't those just amazing scorching dunes? When you think about a desert, many times you think, okay, if I'm going to go to a desert, I got to prepare. I need sunblock. I need an enormous hat. I need all these different things. I need to make sure I drink water. I take all these things. There's a preparation that you look at that you need. If you're just thrown all of a sudden to a desert, many times you'll think, I'm not going to survive. There's no way out of this, because many times you might think that it's just scorching, it's so hot, but then you think, oh great, the sun's going down, and then it becomes freezing, and you're like, now how am I going to survive this? It just goes from one extreme to the next, and many times we don't have an idea of how we're going to continue on, and because it's just how unquenchable or how unforgiving the desert might feel. But for the children of Israel, this was not just a physical landscape, it was also a spiritual classroom. Well, in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, it says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you will keep his commandments. Now, let's pause here. The wilderness was not a detour. It was a divine appointment. The Israelites were not lost. Says they were being led, they were being guided through the wilderness, through the desert. The wilderness humbles us. The difficult times brings humility, allows us to realize, oh, you know what, I'm not all that. Because many times when we're in the moments of prosperity and it lasts just a little too long, we can get our heads a little bit inflated. Thinking it's just, this is me, I'm so great. But then comes the wilderness, comes the desert, and God is like, well, who's your provider? The wilderness humbles us. It strips away our illusions of control and self-reliance, leaving us exposed to the raw need of God. Think of the manna that God provided daily. He didn't give it to Israel a year's supplies. And here you go, now administrate it. He gave them bread one day at a time. Why? Because he wanted to teach them to trust in his provision. So, I mean, have you ever noticed how pain intensifies prayer? In seasons of abundance, we might pray casually. It's like, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for this day. And that'll be about it. But in the desert, or when we're in pain, our prayers become urgent cries. God, if you don't show up, I don't know how to make another step. I don't know how I'm going to continue on if you don't do something about this situation, about the circumstances. The desert brings out humility. It allows us to ask for provision. It brings out our realization that we need God. And what has your desert season revealed about your heart? Have you learned to depend on him in the barren place? When you're in the desert, it's tempting to ask God, why me? But the better question is, God, what are you trying to teach me? The desert is where idols are shattered, pride is humbled, and faith is forged. Point two that I have is God's timing is perfect. God knows exactly how long we need to cook before we're ready to come out. You know, I don't know if any of you have ever baked before, but if you pull out the cake a little too soon, it's just, there's something about the texture. It's just not right. And if it stays in there a little too long, then it's just the flavor is off. It's like, it's got that burnt flavor. So, but God's timing is perfect. He knows exactly when he needs to pull us out. But, I mean, agony of waiting. I mean, how many here love delays? I know in the northern culture, here in Mexico, it's not more about time, it's more about relationship. But at least in the United States, it's more about time. My time is important. My time is precious. And delays are so frustrating. That, you know, oh, I'm so impatient. And that also has to do with me as well. Because when I know I have to do something, it might be a couple hours before then, but I'm like, I'm already pacing. I'm ready to go. I want to just get this over with. I want this to be done, out of the way. I don't have to be worried that I'm going to arrive late or I'm going to do this. I just want to have it done and out of the way. And so we live in a world that despises delay. We want our answers now. We want our breakthroughs today. And our promises yesterday. Yet God's timing is never hurried and it's always perfect. And Ecclesiastes 3:11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And what a magnificent truth. God's timing doesn't just accomplish the task, it brings beauty. How many have thought about something they despised at one moment, and then after thinking about it, after time has gone by, they think fondly upon that? And it's just because they can realize the change that it made into their lives, into your lives, that he says, you know what, that was actually a good time. Now, consider Abraham and Sarah. God promised them a son. Yet they waited 25 years for Isaac to be born. 25 years. That's a long time. Can you imagine the doubt that must have crept into their hearts? Because, you know, normally, at least for me, after the fifth or tenth year, I'd probably like, this probably isn't going to happen. That's a long time to go by, and especially at that age. So, well, God, you know, if you go any much longer, I don't know how I'm going to take care of this child. I'm not going to be able to keep up with him. But 25 years is a long time to wait. Yet in the fulfillment of time, God fulfilled his word. Now, there's an ancient proverb that I like that's about the bamboo plant. Because for years after planting, nothing seems to happen. And the seed sits dormant. But in the fifth year, 5 years of waiting, not seeing anything, the bamboo shoots up 90 feet in 6 weeks. Those years of stillness, they weren't just wasted, because they were preparing deep roots. Perhaps your life feels that you're like you're that dormant seed. You wonder if God has forgotten you, but you hear this, delay is not denial. God is working beneath the surface, setting the stage for a harvest greater than you could imagine. Seasons don't last forever, is another point. And this is important because just like the months end and goes on to the next month, there are times that are scheduled and God knows the start of it and the end of it. Church, if you're going through a storm right now, hear this with your whole heart. Seasons don't last forever. The truth is woven into the very fabric of God's creation. The rain drenches your soul today will give way to sunshine of his promises tomorrow. The winter of your despair will eventually yield to the spring of renewal. The God who created time and seasons are placed on an end to each other. So when one ends, the next begins. It's not just a big drought and then eventually something happens progressively. Literally something ends and then the next starts. And there's a simple yet profound phrase in Scripture that brings comfort. It says, and it came to pass. And it happened. It's gone away. And it's repeated time and time again, like a gentle reminder that nothing, no pain, no hardship, no trial lasts forever. Whatever season you're in, it did not come to stay, it came to pass. The Apostle Paul understood this truth well. He endured countless hardships, beatings, shipwrecks, imprisonments, yet he carried an unshakable hope. Now, listen to his words in 2 Corinthians 4:17. It says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory, for far outweighs them all. And it says that it's light and momentary. You know, how many would consider being beaten half to death, stoned many times, as light and momentary? I mean, I can remember I got a sprain a couple of years ago, and every once in a while it starts hurting again. I can't imagine being stoned. I mean, those kind of sores it might feel afterwards, like, oh, that really hurt my bones afterwards. You know, when the cold creeps in, oh, that really hurts. It's like I wouldn't consider some things as light and momentary, but he's saying he's looking at the bigger picture. He's looking at the long end goal. The weight of grief, sickness, and uncertainty can feel unbearable. And sometimes the sleepless nights and endless prayers make it seem like the storm will never end. But Paul urges us to look beyond the present. He says, he calls these troubles light and momentary, not because they're insignificant, but because they pale in comparison to the eternal glory God is preparing for us. Now consider the story of Noah. For 40 days and 40 nights, rained and poured without mercy, drowning the earth in chaos. And inside the ark, Noah and his family waited, likely overwhelmed by the sound of unrelenting rain. Now, I've lived in Arizona, and sometimes it feels like it sounded like a typhoon was going through there. And at moments, it got a little scary, especially when the lights started to flicker. You're like, oh no, what's going to happen? But obviously, you know you're in the comfort of your home. You're safe. You're fine. But when you're floating in the middle of nowhere, all you see is water around you, and it doesn't stop raining, and this has never happened before, there's a little bit of concern, a little bit of question of doubt of what might happen next. And I'm pretty sure that they had questions in their mind, like, how long will this last? You know, after about 30 days or so, it's like, is it letting out a little? No, it looks about the same to me. It just keeps going. And then the question, well, you know, will we survive this? Did we bring enough food? Do we have to eat some of these animals we brought in? There was a couple of pears in there that just went missing all of a sudden. You know, did God forget us? But then the rain stopped, and the waters receded. The ark came to rest on dry ground, and God made a covenant, sealing it with a rainbow as a promise of his faithfulness. In Genesis 8, verse 1, captures a pivotal moment. It says, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were in the ark, or with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. But did you catch that? It said, God remembered Noah. Church, God has not forgotten you. Even in the middle of your storm, he is working to bring you the dry ground. The same God who set a limit on the rain will set a limit on your trial. Because he will not send what we cannot bear. One of the most beloved passages in scriptures in Psalms 23, verse 4, offers this assurance. It says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The valley is real, but it is not permanent. David didn't say, I set up camp in the valley. Or doesn't say, I will live in the valley forever. It says, I walk through the valley. That's the key. God is leading you through it, not leaving you in it. How many laps around the valley sometimes has to determine on us, on our hearts. Perhaps you feel like you've been in the valley for too long, that the darkness is overwhelming and you can't see the way out. But remember this, God's presence is a promise. He walks beside you, guiding you with his rod and staff, protecting you from harm and leading you safely. God designed life to move in cycles. Seasons that even flow, much like the ocean's tide, the earth itself testifies to this truth. Consider the changing of seasons, that winter might feel cold and barren, but beneath the frost, seas lie dormant, gathering strength. And spring bursts forth with life, but it requires labor, planting, watering, and nurturing. Summer brings joy and growth, but it also heat and trials that demand care and protection. Autumn teaches us to release, to trust, and to prepare for what's next. Every season has a purpose, and every season has its end. Just as winter cannot hold back the arrival of spring, your season of struggle cannot stop the fulfillment of God's promise. Seasons teach us to trust in God's timing. We don't know when it's going to start or when it's going to end. When winter stretches long and we wonder if spring will ever come, we're reminded to trust the one who controls the calendar. God's timing is perfect and his delays are not denials. Seasons reveal God's faithfulness. The same God who brings down after the longest night, brings dawn after the longest night, will bring deliverance after your deepest trial. His faithfulness is not seasonal, it is eternal. And seasons strengthen our faith. The struggle of winter strengthens the roots for the blossoms of spring. Every hardship you endure is preparing you for greater growth and fruitfulness. During the winter, you know, trees might look dead. You know, when you're looking at them, it's like, there's no leaves on these trees. Well, what's going on is they're digging deep, their roots, looking for water. They're looking for nutrition. Why? Because when spring comes, they're going to grow, and they need roots to be able to hold on. If we don't have the roots, if we don't go through those trials and start digging our roots in God, when he wants us to grow, we're going to topple over because we don't have those roots to maintain ourselves upward. Church, let me talk to you directly. Again, your storm will not last forever. Your winter will not linger endlessly. God has set a boundary for your trial, and he will walk you through it. Remember the words in Isaiah 43, verse 2, says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Notice the word when. They're not if. Trials are a certainty, and so is God's presence. He promises to carry you through, to sustain you, and to deliver you. He doesn't promise that you won't go through problems. He doesn't promise that you won't go through sickness. He doesn't promise that you won't have situations that you really don't want to go through. But he says, when you go through them, he will be by your side. When you go through them, you will not be alone. The darkest hour is just before the dawn, when the night feels endless. Remember that the sunrise is already on its way. God is faithful, and he will bring you through the season to a place of joy, renewal, and peace. As Psalms 30, verse 5 declares, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Hold on, church. Morning is coming. The season will change, and the faithful God who brought you to this moment will bring you through it. Seasons don't last forever, and his love endures for all eternity. God's provision in every season is a fourth point. God provides in every season. It doesn't matter what season you're going through. God's going to provide. Let me remind you of something fundamental. God is not limited by seasons. Doesn't matter that if you're wandering through the desert, God is not limited by that desert. God is not limited by that storm. God is not limited by the things that we see surrounding us and our enemies that are around us. God is not limited by those things. Whether you walk through the lush green pastures of summer or the barren wilderness of winter, his provision is steadfast and unchanging. Seasons may shift, but God's hand remains steady. His provision is not merely about meeting your needs, it's about revealing your heart. David knew this truth intimately. In Psalms 23, verse 1 through 2, he declares, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." What a beautiful image. A shepherd doesn't just feed his sheep. He tends to their every need, guiding, protecting, nurturing. And in the same way, our good shepherd, Jesus, provides for us in every season of life. Sometimes God provides provision comes in the most unexpected ways. Consider the story of Elijah. After confronting King Ahab, declaring a drought, Elijah fled to the wilderness, fearing for his life, alone and vulnerable. He might have wondered, you know what, I don't know how I'm going to survive this, but God already had a plan. And 1 Kings 17, verse 6 tells us, "The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." Now, this is interesting because for the Jewish standards, ravens were declared unholy, impure. God is not limited by our imagine or things that we think about. God can use unconventional means for his glory or to provide. He can even use his enemies. So it's not just God being bound by our imagination of ways that he should do this. This is the way I think God should operate. God is not limited by our imagination. Now imagine Elijah's surprise that God is using something unconventional to meet his needs. God's provision can't be put into a box. He can use all kinds of people, situations, and even unexpected blessings to sustain us. I could testify to that. Right before Christian was going to be born, the procedure for the birth was already paid off. And it was about a week before the final kind of review to make sure everything was okay. And I got a big commission at that time. And I'm like, oh, great, we could buy all these baby things and get everything ready. And yay, you know, money to spend. And then we came to find out, oh, it can't be a natural birth. It has to be a C-section. And it's going to be more expensive. Well, it turns out that commission covered exactly what we were going to need for that C-section. You know, we might have thought, you know, great, this is a blessing, but really it was a provision. God's provision is never early, but it is never late either. Consider the Israelites standing at the edge of the Red Sea, looking at Pharaoh's army closing in. And the escape seemed impossible, and the exact moment they needed it, God parted the waters. In Exodus 14:21, it says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided. Your Red Sea moment may feel overwhelming when you see the enemy closing in and you think that there's no escape, that this is the end. But trust this, God's provision will arrive just at the right time. God's provision is also sufficient. God's provision meets your needs, not necessarily your wants. In the wilderness, the Israelites wanted more variety of meat. And I loved this story growing up. My parents would put on a cassette tape at that time, for those who, I know this was something you guys know about. If I talk to newer generations, they'd be, what's that? But we put in these cassette tapes. Frank Peretti, he did these voices reading Bible stories, and I love this story because it says, oh, and they wanted meat and meat and meat. And like the scenery nowadays that I've grown up and have kids, it reminds me of when my kids are like, I really want that candy. I really want that candy. It's like, okay, here, just take it up. Please be quiet. And it felt, I'm pretty sure that's probably God, because in the way that he was telling this story, he's like, He was, okay, you want meat? Well, here. And he says, and he gave them meat, and he gave so much it just made them sick. He says, it started coming out of their nose. It's like, well, they don't want it anymore. Because for them, maybe they wanted meat because they didn't want just the provision, not just manna, but they wanted something extra. They wanted more. But God knew exactly what they needed to sustain them. And he knows what's best for us, even though when we don't know what that might be. But another thing is that God's provision is personal. God's provision is tailored to you. Just as he knows the number of hairs on your head, he knows your specific needs. His provision isn't one size fits all. It's personal, intimate, and perfectly designed for your situation. Just because, you know, your neighbor across the way, God did this for them, why doesn't do it for you? Well, it's because that might not be your need. Even in the darkest valleys, God's provision remains consistent. David declares in Psalms 23, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now think about this. God doesn't just provide a meal in the valley. He prepares a table. A feast, even in the presence of enemies. His provision is lavish, overflowing, and abundant. In the valley of sickness, God provides healing. In the valley of grief, he provides comfort. In the valley of doubt, he provides faith. Whatever you face, his provision is enough. But what should our responses be? We should have a response of gratitude. Recognize that God's hand in your life and give thanks. Even when his provision looks different from where you expected, trust that it is for your good. We should trust when provision seemed delayed, remember that God's timing is perfect. Trust him in the waiting. Don't let our culture or our desire for everything to be now get in the way of trusting in him. But we should also give in generosity. Just as God provided for you, be a channel of provision for others. We don't know if that blessing God is giving us is to provide as a blessing to somebody else. And if you're supposed to be a provision for someone else, do you want to stop that from happening? Because one thing I could tell you is that when you bless someone else and provide for their needs, God multiplies. So, oh, you're someone I can use. Remember his promise in Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Your shepherd sees you. He knows you, your needs before you even ask. And in his perfect time, he will provide all that you need, not just to survive, but to thrive. Trust him. Rest in his care. His provision in every season is a reflection of his unchanging love for you. In Ecclesiastes 3:11 reminds us, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Read this earlier, but this is a divine rhythm to life. God has made everything beautiful. He has set a time and purpose for everything. So while we might not understand the why or the when in the moment, we can rest assured that everything will be made beautiful in his time. We might not know the reason we're going through the storm. We might not know the reason why we're getting all these blessings. We might not know the reason why it just seems at peace, like nothing's happening. We don't know what the situation might be, but God does. God has set the beginning of every time and has set the end of every time. But we also should know, when we're going through these blessings, there's going to be a moment where it's going to end. And we have to be good stewards of what he's given us. But God is faithful. His faithfulness is not seasonal. He is not dependent on our circumstances, our feelings, even our faithfulness. It is part of his unchanging character. Consider the words in Lamentations 3. 22-23, it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every morning without fail, God's mercies are renewed. He is the God who provided manna daily in the wilderness, delivered David from the countless enemies, raised Jesus from the dead, sealing the promise of eternal life. And church, he is the same God who walks with you every season of your life, has not failed you in the past, and he will not fail you now. And let us reflect on the comforting promise of Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This verse is a beacon of hope. Notice the phrase in all things, not just in the joyful seasons, not just in the moments of triumph, but also in all things, good and bad, highs and lows, victories and defeats. God is at work. His work in our lives is never wasted. Even when the seasons feel barren, he is cultivating something eternal within us. The struggles of today are shaping the glory of tomorrow. The waiting of today is preparing the harvest of the future. As we step into the new year, let us resolve to anchor our lives in God's unchanging faithfulness. Because we know no matter the season we're going in, one thing is unchanging. It's God's faithfulness. His love. And we can depend on that. Bow your heads with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you. As we begin this new year, I don't know what the situation everybody is living in, whether it be they're going through the blessed times, if they're going through the desert, the storm, or they're going through the preparation. I don't know what season they're in, Lord, but you do. Lord, and I pray that you would let us touch and feel your presence, because sometimes when we're in the midst of the storm, it feels like we're all alone, even though you've promised that you always will be with us, and we know you are. But sometimes we just need that touch, just that reminder that you're here. Lord, and I pray that this year that we're going into, I pray that we would be quick to learn our lessons, quick to be generous with the blessings, quick to be answering the call that you might give. Lord, I pray that you would set forth the perfect steps and that you would show us and guide us those paths. And that you would comfort us knowing that even though it might look like dark times ahead, that you are with us. We give you thanks for everything that you have done and everything that you are doing. Comfort those that need comforting. I pray that you would touch everyone's life here, that we would not leave the same. That we would have that new, profound purpose to follow through in this year and for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.